Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Sata His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai Ki Jai Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Itai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. What is that noise that's coming? Is it this or? Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirayet Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text 2. Kalasanyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah trayah vimshati tatvana ganam yugapat avishat. Kalasanyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam ganam yugapadavishat. Kalasanyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovinshati tatvanam ganam yugapadavishat. Kalasanyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam ganam yugapadavishat. Kalasanyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam. Kalasanyam tada devim bibhrat shaktim urukramah vimshati tatvanam. Kalasanyam tada devim vibhrat shaktim urukramah trayo vimshati tatvanam yugapada vishat. Matajis kalasanyam tada devim vibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam ganam yugapadavishat. Kalasanyam tada devim shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam ganam yugapadavishat. Kalasanyam tada devim vibhrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam ganam yugapadavishat. Kalasanyam, known as Kali, tada, at that time, devim, the goddess, bibhrat, destructive, shaktim, potency, urukramah, the supreme powerful, trayah vimshati, 23, tatvanam, of the elements,
Ganam,
all of them,
Yugapat,
simultaneously,
Avishat,
entered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Powerful Lord then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements with the goddess Kali, His external energy, who alone amalgamates all the different elements. Purport. The ingredients of matter are counted as 23. The total material energy, false ego, sound, touch, form, taste, smell, earth, water, fire, air, sky, eye, ear, nose, tongue, skin, hand, leg, evacuating organ, genitals, speech, and mind. All are combined together by the influence of time and are again dissolved in the course of time. Time, therefore, is the energy of the Lord and acts in her own way by the direction of the Lord. This energy is called Kali and is represented by the dark, destructive goddess generally worshipped by persons influenced by the mode of darkness or ignorance in material existence. In the Vedic hymn, this process is described as Mool Prakritir Avikirtir Mahadadyah Prakriti Vikritayah Saptash Shodashakastu Vikaro Na Prakritir Na Vikritih Purushah. The energy which acts as material nature in a combination of 23 ingredients is not the final source of creation. The Lord enters into the elements and applies His energy called Kali. In all other Vedic scriptures, the same principle is accepted. In the Brahma Samhita 5.35, it is stated,
एकोप्यसौ रचयितुं जगदण्डकोटिं यच्छक्तिरस्ति जगदण्डचयाय दन्तः अण्डान्तरस्थपरमाणुचयान्तरस्थं गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि.
I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is the original personality of Godhead. By His partial plenary expansion, Mahavishnu, He enters into material nature and then into each and every universe as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu and then as Kshirodakashayi Vishnu into all the elements including every atom of matter. Such manifestations of cosmic creation are innumerable both in the universe and in the individual atoms. Similarly, this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 42.
Athava bahunaitena kim jnatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena sthito jagat.
O Arjuna, there is no necessity of your knowing about my innumerable energies which act in various ways. I enter into the material creation by my partial plenary expansion, Paramatma, or the Super Soul, in all the universes and in all the elements thereof, and thus the work of creation goes on. The wonderful activities of material nature are due to Lord Krishna, and thus He is the final cause or the ultimate cause of all causes. Please repeat the translation. The Supreme Powerful Lord,
then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements
with the goddess Kali,
with the is external energy,
who alone amalgamates
all the different elements. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We are continuing with the discussion between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Maitreya Muni has begun explaining the process of creation of this material world. In the previous chapter, that is chapter 5 of this third canto, Maitreya Muni has described how Mahavishnu actually oversees and empowers the creation of the different elements. Starting progressively from the Mahatattva, moving on to the false ego, which is differentiated into the three modes of nature, and the creation of the mind, the intelligence, and then we have the tanmatras like touch, form, sound, smell, etc. And so the creation moves on. Then the demigods at that level of the creation, at the level of the sarga, who are different from the demigods within the universe that we are accustomed to, because at this time the demigods have not been created. This is an important point. What stage are we on? Sarga. And our demigods, the ones we are familiar with, are at which stage? Visarga. They come only after Brahma. But at this stage, Brahma has not been created. So the demigods that we are familiar with, who live in Swargaloka, they are not the demigods who are praying to the Supreme Lord in the previous chapter. They are demigods who are very empowered expansions of Vishnu, as is stated in the previous chapter, who are in charge of certain elements. And even, for example, there are demigods in charge of each of the layers of the universe. That is also described. We know that the universe is shaped like an egg. Therefore, it is called Brahmanda. Anda refers to an egg. And it has coverings. Earth, water, fire, so many things. But those substances are very subtle forms of the earth, water, etc. that we are accustomed to. So there are predominating deities for these layers and for these elements and substances. You see, nothing in the creation is impersonal. When we say that something is personal, we mean that there is a person behind something. For example, when we say the government has passed a law, a certain law, what do we mean? The word government somehow is a little impersonal. But behind that impersonal word government, there are individuals who are taking some decisions and implementing them. So there are personalities behind that impersonality of the government. So ultimately, similarly, in the material world, of course in the spiritual world, yes, but even in the material world, behind everything, ultimately, there are personalities. And behind those personalities, there are other personalities who are more elevated. And ultimately, behind them all, the source of everything and everyone is Krishna. So this is the system. Krishna has set up a system where he empowers his agents or his representatives, his expansions, to do his functions. Because he engages them in his service. And by his own expansions, he also enjoys various rasas. Yesterday we were comparing the process of creation of the material world to the process of cooking. Does anyone remember what was that analogy from yesterday? Do we have a mic here? Can you mention what was the analogy we discussed yesterday between creation and cooking? So very good. So the cook requires not just the knowledge but also the intention of cooking. So must have the knowledge, must have the intention, the ability, the materials at his or her disposal, the ability to access anything he or she wants at any time. So that is cooking. How is it connected to creation? In what context was this example of cooking given? Why did I mention this example of cooking? Mike.
God also plans in this shape to be the main cook actually in this context, and he has various elements which are the ingredients, and this is how he...
Yes, so just as a cook first of all arranges for the ingredients and all the other paraphernalia that are required for cooking, the fuel, the vessels and so on, similarly the Lord arranges the various ingredients and the paraphernalia that are required, and he generates them himself. And sequentially, step by step, then some of these ingredients are also created by him. Just like when you make some masalas, you have to make the masalas in the house. You combine a few ingredients to make a masala. So you get certain elements, combine them, make them into something which you will then use in your cooking finally. So the Lord does a similar thing. He gets so many ingredients, he makes further ingredients, combines them in certain ways, and then utilizes them further. So the most important person in the cooking process is the cook. Similarly, the most important person in the creation process is the Supreme Lord. Now, does Krishna do everything on his own, by himself? Imagine that there is a grand festival organized here in ISKCON Convention Center. Huge festival. And there are 10,000 people invited. And all of you are responsible for cooking a good feast for these 10,000 people. Now that is not the same as cooking for two people or three people. The principles are the same, but the scale is so vast. Is one person going to be able to do everything? No. Now, Krishna can do the entire creation on his own if he so chooses, because he is omnipotent. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. So he has inconceivable potencies, and he has innumerable such potencies. Para refers to the Supreme Lord. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shuyate. So the Shastras say that the Supreme Lord has innumerable energies, varieties of energies. And svabhaviki, just naturally, Jnana Bala Kriyacha, simply by his desiring, all his plans can come into effect. So Krishna doesn't have to labor hard. He doesn't have to struggle to fulfill some plan that he has in his mind. But that is not the case for us. If we want to become pure devotees, we have to really struggle, isn't it? Even to chant our daily 16 rounds, you have to struggle. If you want to do a business, you have to struggle. You have to run a temple, you have to struggle. You have to drive a car, you have to struggle. So we have so many plans and so many desires, but we have to struggle. Work very hard. Prakriti sthani karshati. Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So we have to struggle. Prakriti sthani karshati, that's struggling against the stringent laws of material nature. But Krishna doesn't have to do that. Simply by his will, ichha shakti, simply by his desiring, all his desires can be fulfilled through the medium of his various energies who are constantly at his disposal, alert to serve him. Now, in the material world, a man may have many assistants, but those assistants are not always available at his beck and call. Maybe they are not enthusiastic. Maybe he needs to motivate them. And maybe with so many other reasons, the person may be not capable of doing something. But for Krishna, it's not like that. His energies are also fully empowered by him. So they can fulfill any desire of his completely. So now imagine, coming back to the example of the cooking for 10,000 devotees. But somebody will have to be the head cook, isn't it? Narahari Chaitanya Prabhu, when you organize cooking for 10,000 people, you're going to appoint one person as the head cook, right? Somebody has to oversee. You're not going to tell everybody, just cook as you like, isn't it? So you'll appoint one person as the head cook. But will that one head cook do all the cooking? No, he will appoint other cooks. And he will appoint others to cut the vegetables, someone to do the purchases, someone to do the cleaning, someone to set up the whole fire and everything. And other cooks, assistant cooks. Some will cook the rice, some will cook the dal, some will cook the vegetables. So many things to be done. But the one head cook is the real brain behind everything. He will ensure that the entire process is going on smoothly. He will make a plan. He will decide what item has to be cooked, in what quantity has it to be cooked, and what will be the recipe for this. So in this way, the head cook is sitting there. Maybe he's not so active, but he's the brain. He's sitting and watching everything and seeing that it's going on nicely. So similarly, Krishna is like that head cook. He has so many assistant cooks. He gives them seva. He gives them service. Because he wants to engage all his assistants in his energies in his seva. Even the energies are personified. Personified means that there are predominating deities in charge of each energy. And then they will perform the different functions. They're ever eager, my dear Lord, please engage us in your service. That is the reason Krishna has demigods. He has so many personalities in charge of different planets and so on, because these are his servants who want to be engaged in his service. So very kindly then, Krishna engages them. And he is just the master brain behind everything. It is the creation is going according to Krishna's plan. And then according to that, he appoints various personalities who are suitable for fulfilling that particular work. And he empowers them also. But at every stage, his involvement is necessary. What happens if the cook just says, okay, you do, and he goes away? That won't work. So the head cook has to be present. He has to oversee everything. Because there will be issues. There will be problems. even in the process of creation, from the previous chapter, we see that the creative process was suspended for some time. And therefore, the demigods at that level, they approached the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme." They glorify Him. And they say, "Please resume the process of creation." And in yesterday's verse, we saw how, because of the suspension of the progressive creative functions of the universe due to the non-combination of His potencies, the Lord heard about that from these demigods. It's like the head cook sitting and someone coming with a complaint. Says, "Prabhu, such and such, these vegetables are not coming in time." So the whole thing is stopped. So then the head cook will intervene. "Okay, what happened to the vegetables? Why? What was the problem?" So the demigods have approached the Supreme Lord. "The creative functions have been suspended. Please intervene and do something about it." So then the Lord starts acting again. He intervenes in the process. And how did He intervene? That is mentioned here in this verse. I'll repeat the translation. The Supreme Powerful Lord then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements with Goddess Kali, His external energy, who alone amalgamates all the different elements. So at the request of the demigods, these are the primal demigods at the Sarga level. They may have the same names or they may not have the same names, but we should not confuse the two. Yes? So now the Lord simultaneously enters into all the 23 elements with Goddess Kali. We'll talk about Kali shortly. So this is how Krishna facilitates the process of creation. Unless Krishna enters into the creation, it doesn't happen. Just as so long as the head cook is not present in the kitchen at the time of the cooking, things are not going to happen. So Krishna enters. And here also, Srila Prabhupada in the purport quotes the verse from the Brahma Samhita, which we read out in the purport, where Brahma says that the original Supreme Lord enters as Mahavishnu. From His body, all the universes emanate. He enters into every universe as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. And then He enters into the heart of every living entity and into every atom as the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So at different stages, the Lord enters into the creation. Whatever is the next stage of creation, the Lord enters into that. Then the next stage, then the Lord enters into that. And this is how it goes on. So what are the 23 elements of creation? You know, Prabhupada wanted our temples to be spiritual colleges, spiritual universities where spiritual education is given. So our classes must also be of this nature, educational. So we must remember our school days and our college days where we studied. So we have to study with the same application of mind and rigor so we can understand our scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now many of you have studied, or most of you have studied Bhagavad Gita. And in Bhagavad Gita, we are told there are 23 elements in creation. That is repeated here in the purport as well. So without looking, without cheating, who can say what are the 23 elements? Yes, okay, you have, he's closer to the mic. Can give the mic here? Divide it into categories when you speak. Five Mahabhutas. What are the Mahabhutas? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. That's five. Then? Five Tanmatras. What are the Tanmatras? What is the meaning of Tanmatra? Sense objects. Yes? The sense objects. The objects which the senses perceive. So what are the five Tanmatras? Say that again. Shabda. Shabda means sound. Sparsha means touch. Rupa means form. Rasa means taste. Gandha means smell. So these are the five tanmatras. So that's 10. Then you're looking into your notes. Yes. Okay, so five senses, five karmendriyas. What is the meaning of karmendriya? The working sense. No, karmendriya, yes, the working senses. So what are the five working senses? Hands, legs, mouth, genitals, evacuating organs. So five working senses through which the body works. Yes? And then? Five jnanendriyas. What does jnanendriya mean? Knowledge acquiring senses. Senses through which we obtain information of the world around us. Senses through which we perceive the world around us. So that we can interact through our working senses. So jnanendriyas, we acquire the knowledge or the information. And that information is processed, and then we act accordingly through the working senses. So what are the jnanendriyas? Eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue, yes. So these are 20 elements. What about the other three? Mind, intelligence, false ego. Okay. Slight variations do happen in the description of these 23 or 24 elements. You also have false ego. And one important item, which is? The sum total of the material energy, which is? Pradhana. Yes? This is called Pradhana. So pradhan is the sum total of material energy from which the entire material creation evolves. From pradhan comes mahatattva by the glance of the Lord. From mahatattva comes false ego. Then the three modes of material nature manifest, they get differentiated. And then the false ego in the mode of goodness produces something. In the mode of passion it produces something. In the mode of ignorance it produces something. And this way the creation process goes on, and at every stage the Lord is present and he enters into it. So once the 23 elements are created, then Maitreya Rishi says here that the Lord enters into every element. But does he enter alone? Along with Goddess Kali. And here is an interesting some interesting information about Goddess Kali. I'll read this part of the purport again. Time, therefore, is the energy of the Lord and acts in her own way by the direction of the Lord. This energy is called Kali and is represented by the dark, destructive goddess, generally worshipped by persons influenced by the mode of darkness or ignorance in material existence. So, the combination of different elements and their dissolution in due, later on happens under the influence of time, Kala Shakti. The glance of the Lord, and the Lord also acts through the time factor. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krit Pravrittaha, in the 11th chapter. I am time, and I have come to destroy all the worlds. So time in this material world acts as an agent of destruction. Because under the influence of time, everything becomes gradually eroded, degraded. Although time is also responsible for the creative function. When things are being created, which is in the mode of passion, the time is also present there and is helping in the creation. In sustenance also the time factor is important. And then eventually it degrades. But the time factor, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned often in his purports, entities in this world undergo six stages of transformation. What are those six stages of transformation? Birth, growth, maturity, production of byproducts, dwindling, death or destruction. So whether it is our body, or it is the body of a tree, or an insect, under the influence of the time factor, these entities will have to undergo these six phases of transformation. The creation phase, sustenance, growth, decay, destruction. So time acts in this way in the material world. So without time, nothing will happen. So time is also an energy of Krishna. And the interesting thing Prabhupada says here is, this energy is called Kali. We are all familiar with the dark goddess Kali, who is generally portrayed as a very fearful looking goddess who has weapons in her hand. She has a tongue out, her eyes are red and blazing, and she's shown in a very angry mood. So Kali is also an expansion of Durga. Chandi, she's also called. And Kali is generally worshipped by those, as Prabhupada explains here, who are in the mode of ignorance, tamogun. In some lectures, Prabhupada explains, why do people worship Kali? You see, in the Vedas, Krishna very kindly has made arrangements for many different types of mentalities that exist in this world. Not everybody is of the mindset that I should surrender to Krishna. Many people ask this question, you know, why should there not be only one scripture? Why are there so many scriptures in the Vedas and all appear to give different messages? So the answer is that because there are different mentalities of people existing in this world, so there are different types of scriptures which give instructions just according to the mentality of that individual. So there are those who are very pure, like all of you here, devotees of Krishna. You're leading pure lifestyle. You avoid all sorts of sinful activities. Your diet, your activities, everything is regulated. So no question of meat, alcohol, etc., etc. The very word, mention of the word will give you some kind of trembling. You say, oh, I can't even think of that. But everybody is not like that. There are so many people who cannot live without it. So what do you do for them? Either they whimsically just eat anywhere they are going to eat or drink. So either the Lord just whimsically let them whimsically do whatever they like, in which case it will be grossly sinful. Or if the Lord were to kindly make an arrangement for them, okay, here is an authorized system for you to eat meat, but you have to follow the system. You have to cut the animal in such a way, and then you have to do this offering in such a way, and then you can eat. Don't simply whimsically kill, open slaughterhouses, and kill innocent animals in large numbers. That is grossly sinful. Even otherwise it's sinful, but at least Krishna has given a process where gradually the person will get elevated in his or her consciousness. The very word mamsaha, the word meat, means mamsaha in Sanskrit. Mamsaha. So when the person kills the animal, he says, now I'm killing you, but next lifetime our roles will be changed. And I will become you, you will become me, and you will kill me in the next life. So after many, many lifetimes of chanting, or years of chanting these kind of mantras, one day it will dawn on him, what am I doing? What am I saying? What is the result of everything that I'm doing? So I should better stop all this killing, even though I'm offering to Goddess Kali, but it's a horrible thing to do. I should not do it. Let me come to Uttarahalli. And there are many nice devotees here in the temple of Lord Jagannath. Let me associate with them. So gradually, the person, maybe it may take many lives, he may come to the point of understanding that he has to surrender to Krishna. So the concessions that are given in various types of Vedic scriptures for those who are addicted to various types of sinful activity have to be seen as just that. That is concessions. It is not that Krishna wants the living entities to eat meat or have alcohol, but it is just a facility for those who are rebellious, who are insistent on doing that. So it's a gradual process of elevation that may take many, many lifetimes for them. So it's just like Prabhupada explains, sometimes when a government introduces prohibition, prohibition means that they do not sell alcohol. So alcohol is prohibited. But the government knows that there are people who are addicted to alcohol. So they have a permit system. And then you get a permit and you're entitled to a certain quota of alcohol in every month. That used to be the system many, many years ago in India. Till today, many of the liquor bars are called permit room. You need a permit to sell. And then, in those days, you needed a permit even to consume. Yes? So, it's like that. So, the system of offering meat to Kali or liquor to Kali and eating is like a permit system. It's not that the government wants everybody to drink alcohol. Of course, today it may be different, I don't know. Karnataka, I think they, because in most states, because it gives a lot of excise duty, you know? The liquor industry gives a lot of taxes to government, so they are encouraging gambling, liquor, but that is not a proper system. But nevertheless, the government gives a concession. Similarly, Krishna has given a concession. If you want to have alcohol, if you want to drink meat, etc., you offer it to Goddess Kali in such a way, this is the process you have to follow. But Goddess Kali is not pleased. She is just doing her duty. It's not that she feels happy when her worshippers offer her liquor and meat and all sorts of things. But that is her service to Krishna. It's not an easy service to do. You know, it is our tendency as devotees to want to do the most pleasing service, the most comfortable service, isn't it? Services which don't require much headache, services which are easy to perform and which give me happiness to perform. But what about doing services which are very much essential, which will please Krishna, but I may not like to do it because it is uncomfortable? But that is not the principle for a devotee. So we have to learn from Goddess Kali that even though she has to assume such a horrible form and she has to accept liquor and meat and all that from her worshippers, she still has to do it because Krishna wants her to do it. So she's a very exalted personality. But when she finds that somebody, that her worshippers even, are harming the devotees of her master, Lord Krishna, then she becomes furious. We all know the pastime of Jada Bharat in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was arrested by some dacoits and they wanted to offer him as a sacrifice, as Bali to Goddess Kali. And they were preparing him, getting him ready. They brought him in front of the deity of Goddess Kali and they were about to decapitate him, to cut his head off, to kill him. is when Kali could not tolerate it any longer. She burst out through the deity. And with her sword, she has so many weapons that she holds that is usually meant for subduing the demons. So Kali and Durga are Krishna's agents of devastation for the demoniac people. So she came, and with her sword, she cut off the heads of all those dacoits. And along with her associates, then she engaged in the same type of activities that the dacoits were going to do. They drank the blood of those dacoits and so on. Because her associates are like that, she gives shelter to them. Just as Lord Shiva gives shelter to the bhutas, pretas, pishachas, who have no other shelter. That is why Lord Shiva is such a great personality. Imagine if you had to go into the bar to preach every day. Huh? What a difficult service it would be. I know Narahari Chaitanya Prabhu will not tell you that. But suppose he were to tell you, just for argument's sake, Prabhu, you have to go into these bars and preach. Distribute Prabhupada's books. You say, no, Prabhu, please, don't give me this service. Yes? It's very difficult to be in such a materialistic place where sinful activities are going on, to be in the midst of sinful people. But Kali has to do that. Lord Shiva has to do that. So we can understand how exalted these personalities are. So she does this service. So then she killed the dacoits because they were harming Jadabharat, who was a dear devotee of Lord Krishna. So the worshippers of Kali, because they're in the mode of ignorance, they become envious of the devotees of Krishna. And we see this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the kirtans used to take place all night long in Shiva's Thakur's house. And the neighbors, some of them were worshippers of Kali. So they became furious. So what they did was, they hatched a conspiracy to defame Shiva's Thakur. Quietly at night, they placed all the paraphernalia that are required for the worship of Goddess Kali. Wine and red flowers, red sandal paste, and a few other things like that. And the idea was that when people would come in the morning and see all the paraphernalia for worship of Kali, they'd say, oh, the Shiva's Thakur is only making a show of being a Vaishnava, but actually he's a Shakta. He's a worshipper of Chandi and Kali, and he drinks liquor and all of this, meat and all that. So when Shiva's Thakur opened the door in the morning, he saw all these items. You could immediately understand that some of the envious neighbors had made this plot. But being a Vaishnava, he called all the neighbors and said, see, I am such a hypocrite. I only claim to be a Vaishnava, but see actually what my activities are. So amongst the neighbors, there were also a few pious gentlemen. They immediately understood what has happened. So they had the whole place cleared up of all the offensive items. And then they had cow dung and cow urine brought, and the whole place was cleaned up. They understood that this was a plot by some envious neighbors to defame Shiva's Thakur. So Vaishnavas, their worship of Krishna is pure and transcendental. Whereas the worship of the worshippers of Kali is very much in the mode of ignorance. And as Prabhupada said, mostly because they want to eat meat, they want to drink alcohol, and do all of these things. So that is one hat that Kali wears. And the other hat, so to speak, that Kali wears is that she acts as the time factor, as Prabhupada explains in the purport. And she assists the Supreme Lord in the process of creation and the progressive evolution of all the different elements, one after the other, in the creation of this material world. Okay, it's 9 o'clock now, so we'll stop. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes. The mic, please.
Thank you. maintaining this class of people so that the upper class of people will not be polluted. So my question is, Maharaj, just 100 years ago, Maharaj was ruling the planet, and when he gave these four places, illicit sex, intoxication, drinking, and gambling to Kali, it is mentioned that Kali could not find these places at all in the entire world because Pachit Maharaj's rule was like that.
But no, she found. There were places. So Kali was banished to those places where these things existed. There were some places in the corner, so he was sent over there. So he had to be at these places where there was where all these four regulative principles were violated. Yes? These things exist. Okay?
One more question. Regarding Shiva's behavior, when his character was being assassinated, rather than clarifying or trying to give an explanation,
you see, Vaishnavas don't want to waste their time. I have to defend myself, I have to fight my case, and then say, look, I am actually very innocent, actually I am a good Vaishnava, this is a whole big plot against me, why to waste time? If I am getting defamed, let it be, I am defamed, okay. Why to waste time? I have so much service to do to Krishna. Like that. But of course, we can't necessarily imitate Srivast Thakur. If tomorrow at, say, your workplace, somebody says, oh, you have stolen such and such, you will say, I'm Vaishnava, okay, I'm a thief. No, then you will say that you will defend yourself. So you have a legitimate right to defend yourself. So we cannot artificially imitate personalities like Srivast Thakur, but we must get the principle of it. Okay, any other questions? Yes, where is the mic? Yeah. Ask questions pertaining to today's class.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Say that again, your voice got cut. Hold the mic like that. No, at an angle like this. Yes. The question is that it was mentioned that there are demigods at the stage of Sarga and there are demigods at the stage of Visarga. Are the demigods in the stage of Sarga also eternal? Now, what are they responsible for in the stage of Sarga?
Yes.
The different elements, etc. Are those elements eternal in that form? No, they are also created from the original primordial matter, pradhana, by the glance of the Lord and so on, the time factor. So these demigods will also not exist in that form because they are created for the purpose, or they are manifested rather, for the purpose of overseeing those particular elements. So they will be manifested and unmanifested. Depending on their status or what is their tattva, they will be manifested suitably and unmanifested accordingly. Okay, one last question. You went here. Little louder, please. You'll have to speak a little louder. You see, just like Lord Shiva is in a separate category by himself, he is not a jiva. Similarly, Durga is also not a jiva. She is in a separate category by herself, Shakti Tattva. ultimately she comes from Yogamaya, who in turn eventually comes from Srimati Radharani. All the Shaktis originate from Radharani, directly or indirectly. So, Durga and Shiva are in special categories. So they may appear to be born in this world as a pastime, just as Krishna also appears to be born in this world as a pastime. So they may have a father or a mother or something like that, but actually they are eternally associated together. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. God Premanande Hare Krishna.
Please have Prashad.